You're listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast with Matt O'Leary and Mitch Anderson.
Hello and welcome to the Eyes on Isles podcast, episode number 19. We're feeling good. Matt Barzal is amazing. I am Matt O'Leary, and I am joined by Mitch Anderson. Mitch, how awesome are you doing tonight after that game?
Oh, God. I don't know how to explain it because it was, for a while, it was, we're going to lose to Buffalo. We're going to lose to Buffalo. This is going to happen. And then, like that, it changed. It absolutely changed. And it, so I'm feeling good. I'm riding the wave of euphoria right now, but there's also just this kind of like, this almost didn't happen, just kind of lingering behind my, in the back of my mind.
Yeah, I get that. Like, as I was going through my whole spiel in that open, in the back of my head, I was like, well, actually, the second and third periods weren't really all that great, but I don't care about that. Barzal is just amazing, and that's one of the things we're going to hit on tonight as we're going to go through the Islanders' last three games. Obviously, we're recording right after the overtime win against Buffalo, and to me, Matt Barzal's play over the last three games has got to be the biggest story.
Oh, easily. Right, there's the hat trick against Winnipeg. There's the winner tonight against Buffalo. And I don't really remember necessarily what he did against Anaheim, but I know it was good. Right, like, what did he put up on that game? I'm going to pull it up now as I say it.
You might as well bring it up, but he has been performing at an unbelievable level, 36 points in 37 games in his rookie year. That's beyond impressive.
That's beyond impressive. Against Anaheim. Oh, come on, internet. There we go. He got 2 points. How did I not remember that? I don't know how I didn't remember he got 2 points against Anaheim, a goal and an assist.
So, all right, so he's got 6 points. Five goals in the last three games?
He's got 5 goals in the last three games, 6 points in his last three. In terms of point streak, he's definitely got one going on in the last five. Last five games, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's got a 5-game point streak. Unbelievable.
All right, I'll take it.
Well, I'm sure anyone will take that. I'm sure Boston would take it, even though, you know, I'm sure they got DeBrusque. big deal, and they got Jake DeBrusque going on over there. But they three times they failed to get Matthew Barzal. So, for me, the biggest takeaway is not only the Barzal, I'm just going to call him that from now on, the Barzal. Because there's only one. It's Josh Bailey. Again tonight, goal and an assist. Get the guys out of there. 47 points, 37 games. He's got, what is it, a 9-game point streak going on. Like, this is fantastic. Usually December, he slows down. He's not, maybe not speeding up, but he's keeping pace, that's for sure. And a 105-point pace, to be specific.
That's absurd. I have a question. Mitch, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Is Josh Bailey going to be the most overlooked 100-point player in NHL history? I feel like no one's talking about him outside of us here and the Isles community. Like, on a national level, I feel like Nikita Kucherov is getting all that love. And then it's just like Josh Bailey, like, up, just another game with an assist. Up, you know, just obviously he's got more points than games, so he's killing it, obviously. As you just said, 105 points over the course of an 82-game season. That's what his pace is right now. But I feel like he's not even being talked about as much as maybe he deserves to be.
Yeah, well, to be fair, that's what happens when you don't score as many goals as everyone else.
True.
Right? Like, I think that's just it. Nikita Kucherov is up there in points, but because he's also got a ton of goals. So whereas Josh Bailey just put in his 12th today, or 11th, sorry, today. Like, that's not going to put you up top of any lists. Even though he's got 47 points. excuse me, I still have a tickle in my throat. It's unbelievable. I've been sick for like a week now. I just think that, yes, he's going to be overrated. Overlooked.
Overlooked,
completely,
yeah.
Overlooked. He is currently overlooked. He's like you said, he's a 105-point pace player, and it's just can't get any headlines. Although, he's got 2 stars of the week, right, so far this season, compared to his probably none last year.
Yeah, that's a true. That's a fair point. I don't know, like, to even in, like, Isles land, I feel like he's being overlooked in a sense. I think he's getting the right amount. I think he's getting love, which, I mean, it's about time that people are finally, like, realizing, hey, this guy's pretty good. But I don't know. It feels like it's the most quiet 47 points I've ever seen.
Yeah, well, that's a factor of, like I said, the goals and the type of player that Josh Bailey is, right? Josh Bailey isn't a headline grabber. He's not a flashy guy, even though he can score a flashy goal. We all remember that overtime goal he scored last year. Like, he can do those things. He's just not that type of player. So he's already automatically going to fall by the wayside against players like, I don't know, Nikita Kucherov, Steven Stamkos. Like, that's going to happen.
Right.
So that's fair to me. I don't think that I don't care if he's overlooked. I don't care because he's going to put if he puts up 105 points, I don't care what happens. Even if he puts up 105 points, he probably won't even win an Art Ross or maybe not an Art Ross, but like an MVP player award. That'll be Tavares because Tavares will probably put up just as many points as Bailey will.
Okay, I have a positive spin zone for you though.
Okay,
are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
So since he's being overlooked by the rest of the league, there will be no market for him come free agent time, and he could sign a team friendly deal with the Islanders. Boom! There we go.
I sure as heck hope so. What's a team friendly deal to you?
Well, a team friendly deal would I think would be like a $6 million a year average.
See, I would say less than that, like a 5.5, like lower than 6 is team friendly. I think 6 is a fair value for what he can do. Because, yeah, he's going to score maybe 100 points this year, but no one thinks he's going to go and do that next year. He might. He probably will because it's looking easy right now, but no one thinks that he's that type of player.
True. Sure. I was thinking like on the open market, maybe he gets like 7. That's why I went with 6.
Oh, sure. Yeah, maybe. But yeah, maybe you're right. Like 6 is going to be that sweetheart deal. And for how long, right? Like he's 31, 32, I'm going to say. I think he's even younger than that.
No, he's definitely younger than that. I would say 28, if I had to guess.
Why can't I pull him up? Good old NHL.com, right? Failing you left, right, and center, finally. Thank you, NHL.com. He is 28 years old. I was 4 years off. My God, 28 years old. He feels like he's been here forever.
Yeah, because they called him up at 19 when he wasn't ready.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, 9 years on the team so far. That's nuts. He's only 28 years old. And so a 6-year deal to me, that's appetizing because you're still getting him. Wait, what's his birthday? Yeah, he turned 28 in October. So he's not turning 29 until next season. When he would first year. So 29, 30, 31, 32, 3, 4. He'd be 34 by the time his contract's up. That's pretty darn good.
Would you do a 5-year, $30 million contract?
I don't think so.
You wouldn't do that?
What is that worth mathematically? I'm doing that in my head really quickly and it's not working out.
$6 million a year.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I would. Well, why 5 years? Seems like a weird number.
What would you would give him 6? I don't know.
6 by 6? Why not? Take him till 34. I think he'd take that. 5 might be a team option to be safe. I think he'll go. He'll try to get 8, obviously. I just don't think the team gives him 8.
Well, because I think his last contract was a 5-year deal.
Right.
That's maybe why I did 5.
Maybe.
Subliminally. I don't know. I just, $30 million seemed like a good benchmark, so that's what I was going to go with.
Yeah, I think for me it was just because I was stuck on 6 by 6.
Fair enough. So you see both of our small minds on display.
Mathematics is our yeah. Forte.
Easy math only.
Yeah.
I was going to propose another question to you.
Go for it.
It's spinning off the offense a little bit, and I'm going to ask you, are you sold on Jaroslav Halak being back?
I want to be. I really do. So I wrote something the other day about, on Christmas Day, 5 gifts that I'd give to 5 Islanders, and the one that I gave to Halak was consistency, and he seems to be repaying the faith. I also said luck for Chimera, and look what happened now. He put up another goal. So maybe I'm working out. Maybe I'm a good luck charm for the Islanders, or that post specifically.
You definitely might be.
So tonight he put up a 946 save percentage. He let in two. He's got 2, 5, 4, and 1 in his last five. He's only got two games under 900 in his last two games, and one of them he didn't start, which is kind of ridiculous. Or did he start it? Yeah, he did start it. I don't understand why they blanked that out. Maybe because it went to shootout, I suppose. I don't understand why he didn't record a win or anything on that game. I'm willing to say that I'm backing him to be back, but there's something in the back of my mind that says I can't really trust him fully, because we've been there before, where we give him that trust, like, yeah, he's back, and then he lets in like those bad goals once a game. Like, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Oh.
Okay. And he, in his last two games,
yeah,
he has a 950 save percentage and a 946.
That's right.
He hadn't had any back-to-back starts with anything close to that. So I think he's turning a corner. I want to believe, because I think he's better than what he has been.
Okay, now you're softening your stance there as you're talking. So are you saying he's now back? Or are you saying he's turned a corner? I think he's turned a corner, and I have faith that he's getting to that place where we want him to be. But I'm not ready to say that he's back. But it seems like you were.
All right, can I change my answer slightly?
Oh, yes, sure.
If he plays in Winnipeg on Friday and allows 3 goals or less, I'll say he's back.
Okay. On how many shots? Because you've been looking at save percentage, right? So.
Oh, okay, fine. How about if he has over a 915 save percentage? About his career average.
Okay, 915? Fair enough. I could take that. Sure, I'd look at it. And look, he's just over his last five. We could even go his last six. There's only two games that are sub 900. Like, you go back to Boston on December 9th, he's got a 938 save percentage. That's pretty darn good. His worst game is obviously the one against Dallas, where he let in 4 goals on 20 shots. Like, that's bad. Real bad. But you have that one in every five. Well, you're winning those four games and dropping that one, probably. Right? Like, they shouldn't have lost that Boston game.
No.
So that's 8 points. That's pretty darn good. I'll take that. I'll take that for sure.
All right. So you have me kind of changing my answer. So he's almost back, and Mitch is saying he's turning a corner. Is that fair?
I think that's fair. I would like to hear what someone else say differently. So look, over his last six, he's got a 913 save percentage.
All right, that's almost his career average.
Exactly. He was a 906 before that, even in that small, like, five-game sample size. So he's turning a corner for sure. At the very least, he's turning a corner.
And we will take that. So are we just riding this out for as long as possible, or are we giving Grice another chance at any point?
You ride the hard hand. You ride it hard. You have to, right? Why wouldn't you?
Just in fear that you burn him out and he sucks again?
Right. Well, with saying that, you have to play Grice in those standard positions, like the back-to-backs. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that's really it. Or like an Arizona comes to town. I think we've already played Arizona twice. Tonight would have been a Grice game, I think, but I feel like Doug Waite needs to put up a few points on the board. So he went with Halak because he trusts him more right now. Unfortunately, for Grice, that is.
Which is understandable.
Oh, of course. Of course. But I think that's why he made the decision. Like, tonight, Grice, it should have been a Grice game. But you feel he's got the rest. Why would you put Grice in? It's a team that they should win. It's 2 points that they should be putting up on the board because, like we'll get to later, the teams behind them are starting to catch up in the standings. So if you can get a 2 points... and know you're going to get 2 points, you do it.
Right. Absolutely. And that's exactly what the Islanders did. It was a little nerve-wracking at times.
Very nervy.
But yeah. Mitch, I'm frustrated.
Okay.
And just by saying that word, you should know which player I'm going to talk about next.
Yeah, you tweeted about him a lot today.
Brock Nielsen
is
back in hibernation mode. Mitch,
why
he is
do you
now
say
gone,
that exactly?
He's now gone 7 games in a row without a point. For
without a
third,
point, that's bad. That's the bad part. It's not just a goal; it's a point.
What if I told you that he's now gone at least 6 games in a row without a point on 3 separate occasions this year?
How? Oh God!
He's on pace for 27 points.
Oh no, no, no! That's bad. That's so bad. This is supposed to be a perennial 45 point player, and he's not even. He's gonna get about halfway there. Over
that's
halfway.
What I said. That's what I said today in the article saying he's back in hibernation mode. It's bad. We're on red alert here.
Like he has, generally, if you look at his splits. He starts off the season really well and ends the season really well. And by I mean start and end, I mean October, March. Those are Brock Nielsen months. Between that, it's just he does okay in November. He does not do well in December. He does not do well in January. And then it starts picking back up again. That's about as good as he gets. So you're getting him in peak performance beginning, end of season. So right now, yeah, now it's full on hibernation. He's gone. He's found a hole somewhere. He's fattened up for the winter. I'm not actually saying he's fat, but I'm following the analogy here.
Right.
And he's just sleeping it off. He's just sleeping it off right now. He needs to wake up. He needs to do something. Like that third line is looking pitiful right now. Bovilli is looking nice. I don't like Prince on there. Maybe it's just because he's missed a ton of games, but he does not look good either.
Oh, I just checked this out to confirm, but in his last 2 games, Brock Nielsen has 0 shots on goal.
Oh, no. Even worse.
This is just getting so much worse. I can't look at Hockey Reference anymore. The more I keep looking, it's just getting worse and worse.
So he's averaging less time on ice. Like tonight against Buffalo, I don't remember. I remember 2 shifts of his. One is he was pinching along the boards right behind Leonard. And he seemed to come out there really quick, so I was kind of surprised. Like, oh my God, who the heck was that? I didn't know Chimera. Oh, that's not Chimera. He played 10 minutes tonight, Brock Nielsen did. That's rough for him. Usually he's playing 13, 14 minutes a night. He's playing 10 minutes out there, which makes sense because he's not scoring. So,
right, and Beauvillier and Prince had under 10 minutes also.
Right.
So that line not getting a lot of time.
No, and that fourth line getting lots of time. So the fourth line really is, if you're looking at it based off of minutes, is Nielsen, Beauvillier, Prince.
Yeah, pretty much.
Really. And Cizikas is doing well. Last night against, not last night, but 2 nights ago, or sorry, 2 nights ago. My God. Christmas has been a blur. I don't know about you, but it's been an absolute blur. I can't believe we're already the 27th. On the 23rd against Winnipeg, he was dominant on the faceoff circle. So I'm sure that Wade is just putting him out there continuously, him being Cizikas, because it just makes sense. Let's win some faceoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Cizikas has played relatively well. He had an assist tonight as well. He's played well the last couple times out.
Yeah, it's nice to see him back. I know he played really well at the start of the season. He got injured, so he's out for a bit. And it just seems now that he's back into his full healthy rhythm, which is nice to have.
Right, and when he's healthy, he's a rather productive NHL player.
That's correct.
What was I going to say? So Brock, just in hibernation mode, is once again, like, here we are again. It's just like a revolving storyline. It just hasn't. It doesn't go away.
No, it doesn't, and it won't. Right? Like, what do you do with Brock Nielsen? You try to trade him, but who's going to take him if he's having a worse year? And it's a career year for, not a career year, sorry, but it's a contract defining year for him right now.
Yeah, he's a restricted free agent at the end of this year. So, do the Isles re-sign him? Do they try and trade him?
They could try to trade him. Like, I put up something earlier today because Elliot Freeman put out a piece saying that Anthony Duclair is going to be available again for trade. So I thought, well, the Isles could go pick him up, put him on the left wing or right wing. He could play either side. And you put Beauvillier in the middle. And that's your new third line. Beauvillier middle, Duclair and Prince on the wing. And, well, actually, I said Hosang, but I don't think that they're going to be calling Hosang up anytime soon. But that to me sounds like a productive third line of Hosang, Beauvillier, Duclair. Much more so than Brock Nelson steering the ship on that third line. It's just that there's nothing going on with him.
Yeah, that's his problem. He can't be like
the
main focus on a line.
Mm-hmm.
You need to pair him with somebody, and I mean, Beauvillier, I think we'd like him, but he's not going to get the most offensively out of Brock Nelson.
He doesn't seem to be complementing his style of play. Josh Hosang seemed to do that, but he's got some other issues, according to the team, that he needs to figure out, so he ain't there.
Right. So in addition to Brock Nelson's poor play, another rough narrative from this past week is Calvin DeHaan is in fact out for the season.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, that I think that's going to be a tough blow for the... We talked a little bit about this last week's show, but I think this is kind of a big deal.
Yeah, man. We have the defensive depth, but like you saw today and as you posted, why are the Isles playing Seidenberg over Ryan Pulock? Why?
Did you see the play where Bailey did a toe drag and then tossed it back to Seidenberg at the blue line?
Yeah.
And it just whiffed. And then it was a breakaway opportunity for the Sabres. And then followed that up with a tripping penalty.
Yeah, that was a rough passage of play for Seidenberg.
What a sequence.
Not to say that in that same situation that Ryan Pulock would have done better. He probably would have. That was a pretty bad pass by Josh Bailey. But maybe it wouldn't have been such a bad pass if Pulock would have been in a better position. Who knows? It's a lot of what ifs. But it's just, in the whole of things, in the totality of the season right now, Ryan Pulock seems like a better option than Dennis Seidenberg. Does it not? Like, am I missing something here? Does Ryan Pulock, is he the 40-year-old man that needs a break now, right now? No, he's like a 21-year-old kid. Get him out there. Let him play.
Yeah, that's one of the main things that I wrote about in that piece was, why do the old veterans get so many benefits of the doubts and so many chances to prove themselves, while if a younger player makes a mistake, they are punished for it and they don't get that opportunity to grow on the ice? They have to go somewhere else to learn.
Yeah, that's
the thing that I don't get.
That's a tough one to swallow. That's fair criticism. It's just because you've played 1,000 games doesn't mean that you get to screw up on the ice just as often. Although maybe they're not. Maybe they're seeing things that we're not, but it does seem to me that Ryan Pulock in the place of Dennis Seidenberg is a better option. And look, I said he's 21. He's actually 23 years old, Ryan Pulock. He's older than we thought. Like, he's not getting any younger. No one is. But at 23, we should figure out what this guy is exactly. And we have no idea.
Yeah, because they're not giving him the opportunity.
Exactly. So let's get him out there and give him a shot. He's played the last few games for a while. Maybe he picked up a knock. Maybe he's got a knock or something. But to me, it just seems like you said, it's relying on the vets and going, well, we'll put the vet in because we need a steady hand. Well, your steady hand isn't very steady, so there's a problem with that.
Yeah, that one really bothered me when I saw that this morning when I saw Doug Weight release the lineup. I don't get it, man. When are we ever going to see if this guy is a real deal or not?
I don't know. I thought we'd get a chance this year, but he's really not. Maybe it's he's doing something that we're not able to perceive. There's just something there that Doug Weight doesn't like. Because look, he's playing Pelech out there constantly. Right? Pelech isn't being scratched.
Well, Pelech also got a pretty hefty deal from our general manager. So maybe that's something being passed down from up top.
Sure, but you know, it's only $1.6 million on the cap a year. Like, that's what, I guess that's two times more than what Pulak is making. So, fair enough.
And it was a long-term deal, so you're not just going to, like, scratch a guy for 4 years straight.
No, obviously. But it just, if contract is a dictator of how long or on how many games you get to play a year, then that doesn't seem like a good evaluation tool.
I don't think it is, but I think it definitely does play a factor.
I suppose. Do you think it plays that much of a factor? In like, oh, he's got a big contract. We can't have him sit out. Yeah, that doesn't sit well with me. I would hate for that to be true.
Well, I was going to use Brock Nelson as the example. Not that he has a big contract, but, I mean, he hasn't even been scratched once, and he's been terrible all year. Same with Chimera.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So, but there's something, like, in Chimera, I know there's something that Doug Weight likes in him. I don't know what he sees in Brock Nelson. Aside from the fact that he scores 20 goals every year, no problem, it seems.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like we're sitting here waiting like for Brock Nelson to just like wake up one day and become a 30-goal scorer, but it's just not going to happen.
I honestly can't disagree. I think that's exactly what it is. It's just Doug Weight's waking up every day when he's making his lineup going, well, I'm going to put Nelson in because he could score two, he could score none. And I'd rather have him on there to score the two than definitely give him, than not give him the chance to score any at all.
Yeah, I guess that's the only logical explanation that I could think of.
It has to be.
All right. Do you got anything else from this past week from any of the games?
We already touched on the fact that we can't count on Greiss, which sucks. It sucks to say because for 2 years we've been counting on Thomas Greiss and now we can't. But to me, it seems that Halak is now the number one. Greiss is the backup. They have split the games so far this year, but that's going to change as Halak takes more starts or the reps start coming more frequently for Halak.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're going to ride Halak for a while, yeah. And it makes sense.
Yeah, you have to.
All right, our next short topic this week, we wanted to talk about the group of death, Mitch worded it as.
Yeah, for all my soccer fans out there, you know what I'm talking about.
Can you explain?
So group of death is just like when it comes to a big tournament, you have a group of just a slew of powerhouse teams. So you can have like, it wasn't necessarily a group of death, but it was pretty close to it. In the last World Cup, it was Italy, England, Uruguay, Costa Rica. Now, Costa Rica is not a powerhouse, even though they escaped out of the group, but England, Italy definitely are, and so is Uruguay. So you have three right. teams in a group of four, and only two can make it out. So a big name is going to be tossed out. So that's why they call it a group of death, because one of these big, big, big teams is going to die at the tournament. To put it like as ominously as possible.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. See, now I learn something new every day.
Now you can watch the World Cup with me this year. You probably will.
We'll see. Maybe. All right, so Carolina, Pittsburgh, and Philly coming in today, we're all just 3 points behind the Islanders. It's a scary time out there, man. You can't mess up in this Metro Division. You lose one game, and you could drop 2-3 places in the standings.
You can. So right now, they still are. So Pittsburgh and Carolina are still 3 points back of the Islanders after tonight's win. That's crazy. And all eight Metropolitan Division teams are ahead of 5 Atlantic Division teams. That's Whoa. Crazy how weak the Atlantic Division is.
Wow. I didn't realize it was that bad.
It's bad. It's real bad. So Philadelphia is the last place Metropolitan team with 38 points, which is above 5 other Atlantic Division teams. Sure enough, Montreal's only got 36, so that's not far back, but it's still far enough that they're below them.
Oh, wow. Yeah, the outside of Tampa Bay, Boston, and Toronto, the Atlantic's pretty much a dumpster fire. I didn't realize it was that bad.
Oh, it's... Yeah, and the top three are starting to separate themselves significantly. Like you said, Toronto's got 45 points in the last playoff spot in the Atlantic, and Montreal is next at 36. There's a 9-point gap, and they're even on games played. Boston has 45 points, but has played two games fewer than those other than Toronto. So, like, they make up on those two games, and they're already, like, 4 points ahead of Toronto. That's nuts. But when you come to the Metro, look, the New York Islanders, with their 44 points, would be in a top... Well, they wouldn't be in a top three spot, I guess. They'd be just below Toronto. But they'd be a point off second place. They're 2 points out of third place in the division, and a good 5 points out of the top spot. That's crazy. This division is absolutely insane. And look, the New Jersey Devils are in the top of the division. The Devils. They've won 5 in a row now. Where the heck did the New Jersey Devils come from?
Dude, I'm still not buying into the Devils. I'm just going to sit here, probably for the whole length of the season, just sit here and be like, I'm waiting. Mitch, it's going to happen. Every week I'm going to be like, Mitch, it's going to happen. They're going to fall off. Now's the time.
April and they're hoisting the cup and you're like, what? No, it's happening. It's going to happen. They're going to be terrible. Just watch. But they're not. They've won 5 in a row. Like, and this team should not be winning games. Well, they should be winning some, but not this many. They shouldn't be this good. Columbus, we knew who Columbus were. Washington, we knew who they were. The Rangers, sure. But, like, the Pittsburgh Penguins should be better than this. The Philadelphia Flyers, sure. They're better than last year, but they're still not great. And the Carolina Hurricanes are pretty much exactly where we thought they would be. So, it's tough, man. We have the second best offense. Sorry. Tied for best offense in the league with 133 goals for. And we still can't crack the top three in this league, in this division.
Well, if Halak really is turning the corner and you start to get to his career average, they'd be in pretty good shape.
That's true.
Not now, they might not be at the top of the Metro, but they would definitely be moving up, and maybe that first wild card or that third spot in the Metro doesn't seem too crazy.
No, the third spot in the Metro doesn't seem too crazy. Like, they're only 2 points out of Washington, and even on games played with them. But like we said, Carolina's back there. They have a game in hand. Philly's back there. They have a game in hand, and they're not that far back. They're 6 points back, but, you know, they have that one game, and they're only four. That's doable. That's all. That's only two games. The Islanders can definitely drop two games. They're going on the road now as well. So, yeesh.
Yeah, and the Islanders definitely need a big swing before they go into 2018 to close out
exactly
the season.
And, like, it should be easy to do. They got the 2 points against Buffalo tonight. They're going up against Winnipeg, who they destroyed the other night. Although Winnipeg is very good at home. What's their home record here? It is 12-3-1.
Wow. Yeah,
so, not looking good. But then they meet up with the Colorado Avalanche in their home, who are just god-awful. Well, they're not god-awful at home, but they're 10-6-1 at home, the Colorado Avalanche. Like, the Avalanche aren't very good either.
No, they're a bad team. You have to beat Colorado. If you want to make the playoffs and be considered a good team, you have to beat Colorado on the road. Yeah.
So, in these last three games, including Buffalo, if they pick up 4 points, that's good. That's a good three-game stretch to close out the year, I think. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, I want to win all the games, but If you have to lose one of these three, if it was against Winnipeg, I could understand that.
Yeah, for sure.
And you got to beat up on the bad teams.
Yeah, you got to get the points where you should be getting points, and then to stand out, you got to nick points where you shouldn't necessarily. So taking one out of Winnipeg would be amazing.
Yeah, if they lost in overtime and, like, stole just a point on the road, I think you'd got to be extremely satisfied.
Keep in mind, to do that, they would also have to win. They did tonight. They would still have to win Colorado.
Yeah, that exactly. So it would be 5 points in three games.
5 points would be optimal. 6 points would be optimal. 5 points realistic. 4 points likely, I think.
Yeah, I definitely think that's fair. Anything less than 4 points is disappointing.
Yeah. I can't disagree with that whatsoever.
No, you can't. You can't lose to Colorado. You can't.
No, you can't. You can't. Again, at home, like, I kind of get it because they're okay at home. But you can't do that.
No, they're in the Tank Olympics.
You think so?
Which is a coin. Yes, they definitely are.
I don't know about that. They've won the last, what is it, two or three? Colorado's won two in a row, I think. They've won one. They're 5-4-1 the last 10. Look, Arizona's got 21 points. They're 16 points ahead of Arizona. Like
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, they're 9 from the bottom now. They will have a top 5 pick. You're a betting man. I will bet you that they have a top 5 pick.
That they'll finish top 5. Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take the field for top 5. I don't think Colorado takes a top 5 pick. I'm writing it down. I have my pen. It's blue, light blue. Colorado, top 5, bet, Matt, yay, Mitch, nay.
So when June comes around and it's draft time, everyone tweet at TLO Mitch when Colorado has the 3rd pick in the draft.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. And what is yours is like at MSol, Matt, O'Leary, New York, your address probably, and like a million other characters, I think. I can't recite it all.
It's just Matt O'Leary, NY.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. We'll tweet at you when inevitably Colorado does not get a top 5 pick because they're terrible when it comes to the draft, just like we saw last year.
We'll see, Mitch.
Yeah,
we will.
We
see.
Will. And we'll see when I'm right. Listen, I do another podcast, and every week they try to bet me on something like, oh, the Islanders are going to lose tonight. Oh, Bobby, or not Bobby Ryan, Mark Stone is going to be an 80-point player. And I always take the other side of it. Obviously, if the Islanders win, I take them. And I haven't lost yet, so it's not looking good for you, my friend.
That's right. I'm usually a bad bettor, so we'll see.
It's good that you admit it. It's first step.
Yeah. So anyway, definitely this group of death is not very fun.
No.
It's very difficult to play in. And although right now the Islanders didn't jump up above the Rangers.
They did for now, unless the Rangers won tonight.
They might have won. I feel like they did in a shootout.
Then they wouldn't
Maybe.
Have.
Then they would be tough. NHL.com is giving me false information.
Yeah, let's just skip ahead. We don't need to talk about the Rangers. We don't need to give them any airtime.
No.
If you want to listen to Rangers talk, you've come to the wrong place. That's for sure.
This is true. Let's talk about the World Junior Tournament. Always a fun watch. And let's talk about some Islanders prospects that you could be seeing in the World Junior Tournament.
Yeah. So there's 3, right? There's Robin Salo, Otto Koivula, and Kiefer Bellows, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. So Bellows is USA and the other two are Finland.
Nice. Good representation from us. And Bellows already got at least a goal. Although I think they're still in preliminaries right now.
Yes. He did have a... It wasn't a shootout. It was a penalty shot, no?
All I saw was the headline that he scored. I don't watch USA games. Sorry, buddy.
Wow. He's just like, I don't care about your country. That's pretty much what I got from that.
No, I don't. I'm Canadian. It's just red and white over here. That's it. No blue.
Wow. That was harsh. I felt that like right in my chest. That got me good.
Listen, it's double-eyed chef time. Like I got to sit with my clan of Canadians. I can't just join the band of Americans. For what reason? Because Isles are in America? That's not how it works. That's just not how it works, my friend.
Wow. That's aggressive. Yeah. I got to respect it, though. I definitely got to respect
it. It's going to be a good time on December 29th when we play each other.
December 29th. We should got to make a bet for that, but we'll share that on Twitter.
Okay, fair enough.
What it is.
Fair enough. So, what do you hope to get out of these 3 in this tournament? What do you hope to learn from these 3 out of this tournament? Are you going to watch all 3? Obviously, you're going to watch the U.S. games, but are you going to watch the Finland ones?
Doubtful.
Doubtful? Because they play tomorrow at noon. I'm going to turn it on.
Maybe. Okay, they play at noon?
Yeah.
I'll try and watch.
There you go.
At noon, that could probably happen.
It's still preliminary. It's against Denmark, so it doesn't really matter. But Well, I guess it does matter because it's still ranked.
Yeah, I'm curious, you know, what these guys do. For me, the one that I really want to watch is Kiefer Bellows. I really kind of fell in love with his game during the juniors tournament last year.
Yeah.
And I said this at the time last year, I'm probably going to get blasted for it because of my article yesterday, but I said that I like Bellows as a prospect more than Michael Del Cole at that time.
Huh. Odd that you would say that. Okay.
Yeah, I know. That's not fitting any narrative that I like to run or anything like that.
Not at all.
No. Shout out to my boy, Michael Del Cole, with now 7 points in the last 7 games.
Wow. Good job, buddy. I know he's got 2 tonight. He got 2 goals tonight, so not looking good for you.
No, it isn't looking good for
me. But maybe you just needed to light the fire.
I did. I'm the biggest mush there is. And Chimera scored tonight, too. So it's like my 2 mortal enemies just like...
Well, Brock Nelson like stick did nothing, it to him. So...
True. I still have him. I don't have enough powers to get him going.
Although,
in the right direction,
like Meatloaf said, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
This is very true. So for me, the one that I want to watch the most is Bellows. Do you agree? Do you want to see?
Yeah, no. I think for now, like I love to see Salo and Koivula. I'm not necessarily going to tune in to watch Finland unless they play Canada, which they did today. Was it today? Yeah, no, yesterday. Sorry, it was yesterday. I don't see again. Blur. I forget what day it is today. They played and they won 4-2. The other two were unremarkable. So, and there's no one really on the Isles that is playing on the Canadian roster, so I already don't really have anyone to watch necessarily when it comes to Team Canada.
Right.
So, like, whatever. Koivula got an assist. That much I know. But whatever. It's a secondary one, I think. Like, those don't necessarily matter that much. In terms of, like, this tournament, I'm not... I'm really watching Bellows because, again, the momentum is there. The guy's got how many like, points in juniors? 1.5 million in, like, 50 games? I don't know what it is. It's something absolutely ridiculous. The momentum is all with him, so I want to watch the narrative develop from him. I want to see him have another strong tournament that he had, that the same one that he had last year. That's what I'm hoping for.
He did have 2 goals.
He already has 2 goals, you mean? Or
yeah, remember we were talking about, was it 1 or 2 goals? It's 2,
there you
apparently.
Go.
And, ooh, can I do math? He has, in World Juniors, in 15 games, 9 goals.
That's pretty darn good. I'd take that for sure. That just continues the type of player that he is and the type of player that we're used to. So that's perfect. That's absolutely perfect. I love it.
Yeah, so that's the one I'm looking forward to the most. Mitchie agrees with me there. Quick check-in before we move on. Remember we had like that reoccurring segment where we would just talk about Kiefer Bellows' update and how many goals he has?
Yeah.
Okay, so with the Portland Winterhawks... We are now up to 19 goals, 21 assists in 31 games, so 40 points, 31 Ooh. Games.
Wow. Dominating. Can we have, like, the domination klaxon? I should really program that in my little keyboard here to have that play immediately. Like we'll call it the Kiefer Bell klaxon. So whenever
like
we talk about him and we rave about his point scoring production, we could just... Burr, 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 burr.
Do you think he reaches his goal, which he said this summer he wants to be on the Islanders roster next year?
Absolutely, because I think Brock Nelson isn't necessarily going to be here next year, and that's the perfect substitute for Brock Nelson.
Yes, agreed.
Like, seriously. Brock Nelson's a finisher, we know that. So is Kiefer Bellows, but Kiefer Bellows seems to have so much more. He'll have that motivation, which Brock Nelson doesn't seem to have. It's perfect. It's the perfect match.
Okay, Mitch, I just got a little tingle in my chest thinking about this. Ready? No, wait, hold on. Let me explain.
Okay.
Think of third line.
Yeah. Oh.
Bellows, Beauvillier, Hosang.
I love it. Oh, I love it. Oh, my God. You got defensive responsibility with some offensive production in Beauvillier. You got just pure creativity in Hosank, and you just got deadly finisher in Kiefer Bellows. You've got all three aspects. Oh, love it. Fantastic.
That I am ready for that. I am so ready for that.
Yeah, let's do it. Ship it. Fast forward to next year. Isles win a cup now. Josh Bailey has 2 million points, and Kiefer Bellows is now in the league. Perfect. Let's get it done.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. All right. Let's get into our long topic of discussion for this week.
Okay.
I think it was yesterday. See, we're both off from work this week. We don't know what day it is. I haven't changed out of sweatpants all day. I've been in sweats all day.
Nice.
So I posted my top three disappointments, and then you posted your top three positive surprises.
Yes.
So let's talk about those. What do you want to start with? You want to start with the positive or the negative?
Let's do the negative so we can end on a more positive note.
All right. I like your style. I like your style. So I want to pull up the exact list because I want to go in the
exact
right
order
in which I, in the exact order in which I wrote it.
I was pretty sure it was goaltending, Hosang, Chimera.
Yes.
It was that order. Memory serves me correctly. I don't remember what day it is, but I remember what you wrote. See how important you are in my life, Matt?
It just shows you love me.
That's right.
Oh, it wasn't Chimera. No. Chimera wasn't on there.
Darn it.
It was somebody else. I'll save that for...
Yeah, save it. Tease it.
Okay. So first, let's talk about the goalies.
Well, we already went over it, right?
We already went over it, but that was disappointment number one.
Yeah.
Let me just skip to disappointment number two.
For obvious reasons, right? Like, Rice has been bad. Halak has been bad at the start of the season. So on and so forth.
Then my number two was Josh Hosang. And I don't mean, like, Hosang himself is the disappointment.
Okay.
It's the treatment of Josh Hosang. Right. That's the disappointment.
When I was reading that and I saw Hosang and disappointment, I went, that's not Matt. Matt didn't write this. Oh, my God. Matt's name is on this. Why didn't Matt write that? And... that's when I read it over. I went, oh, he means the situation around Hosang. Yeah, he's right. Yeah, he's definitely right.
Yes. So actually, my first line of the slide was, let me clarify. Yeah. Josh Hosang himself hasn't been a disappointment. It's more the handling of him from the organization's perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we can look at his point totals, both in the NHL and AHL, and he's putting them up. That's not a problem. We don't necessarily know what the problem is. Is it his defensive responsibility? Well, maybe he's just not a defensive player. Like, I think the Islanders should have known that when they drafted him. Can you teach defensive responsibility? Yeah, probably. Not to the extent that they'll want it. I think he's always going to turn the puck over. That's just going to happen. That's just part of the process, right? That's just part of his creativity. So can they legislate that or train that out of him? I doubt it. So, like, why send him down? Why?
No, and I don't see my last line too was kind of like, I don't see how him ping ponging from the AHL to the NHL is going to do him any good either.
No, exactly.
Like, just stick with one. And to me, I feel like he's already mastered the AHL level. So what's the point of just keeping him down there?
To learn systems, defensive formations. I'm at a loss, man. Like, it has to be that, but you're like, well, he can learn that at the NHL level. So why waste his time? Just so Bridgeport can be good? You want to, like, your responsibility is to make the Islanders better, not Bridgeport.
Oh my God. You just reminded me. Can we do a little TBT real quick with that line?
Yeah.
Last year, I wrote something when the Islanders called up, what the hell was his name? Connor Jones?
Yes.
And I was like, this is ridiculous. Why aren't you calling up someone with more impact? And they were like, oh, like, why would you want to call up someone of significance on the Sound Tigers because they're about to go into the playoffs? I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I forgot that we care more about the Sound Tigers than we do about the New York Islanders.
Yeah, exactly. It should not matter. It should be inconsequential what happens to the Bridgeport Sound Tigers. If they can win a championship, cool. That's great. We're trying to win one here. So it doesn't matter what they do.
Yeah, pandering. Islanders fans telling me that they should pander to the Sound Tigers' best interest just blew my mind, and that sparked my memory with that. So thank you for that, Mitch.
You were triggered.
I was very triggered. I was about to jump through my computer screen.
Sure. I can buy into that. What was your third one, though?
Dennis Seidenberg.
Oh, right. Of course.
Just because of how bad he's been. Like, it's very bad. 42.4 CF percentage.
Eesh, that's rough. And that's like the worst on the defensive line, isn't it? By some margin.
Yeah, and especially if you compare it to Pulak's, his is just under 50%. I think it's 49.7, I want to say.
Right.
Which is the second highest behind Boychuk.
Wow, that's pretty good. I know that they're not based off of like per 60, but I think that might do something to it as well, right? So like obviously Pulak is playing a lot less than most of these guys. So if he plays a couple of good games, that's going to boost up that average a lot better or a lot more. But it's just he's still doing it. He's playing enough that it's up there. He's still putting up those numbers. So
yeah, Pulak's played in, I want to say, 22 or 23 games, and Seidenberg's played in 14.
Wow, okay. So close. He's played more. He's got a larger sample size, and it's still not panning out.
Yeah.
He's got a larger sample size, and it's better. So you would think that based off the more repetitions he had, it would kind of regress back to the mean, but that's clearly not happening. So that's good in a way.
Right. And I also said a solution should be not putting Dennis Seidenberg out there and maybe call up Devin Toews.
Yeah, but they're not going to use that. Then you got to clear up a roster spot, right?
Would you cry if they cleared Seidenberg's roster spot?
Oh,
or Quine?
No, I would not. I would not lose any sleep over that whatsoever.
Right. But they wouldn't do that.
No, they wouldn't do that. That's not happening.
They like to drive us crazy.
Yes. Yes, they do. Do you want to get to my three surprises?
Yeah, let me get the three positives.
So three positives. Obviously, number one, numero uno, is Josh Bailey putting up 105 points. He hasn't literally done 105 points, but he's on pace for that right now.
On pace.
I think. I haven't calculated it after tonight's game, but before tonight's game with 105, he might be on for more than that because he's got 2 points tonight, which is nuts. We knew he was going to do well, but we thought well was going to be floating around that 56 point, something like 50, 60 points or so. Not double that to 105. Like no one thought that was going to happen. No one thought that was a reality. And that's the reality we live in today, which is amazing. It's amazing to live in the world where Josh Bailey's a 105-point player. So that's a surprise. The second surprise is kind of like the first surprise, where we thought that this player was going to be good. We didn't think he was going to be this good. And, of course, I'm talking about Matt Barzal, right? Putting up, 37 points or 36 points in 37 games for a rookie? What? This is amazing. We didn't think we knew he was going to be good. We didn't know he was going to be that good. 13 goals. We didn't think that he was going to be this good. It's just a continuation. And number three is kind of just like number one and two, which is Anders Lee being on a 50-goal pace. It's obviously dropped after tonight where he didn't score, but he'll probably put another one up tomorrow. On the 29th when they play. This guy is on a 50-goal pace. No one thought that he can score 50. We didn't think he could score 34. We thought that was amazing last year. And getting 30 from him again this year would have been amazing. But we're getting 20 more than that. That's fantastic. That is an amazing surprise.
Yeah, all three of those, I mean, I 100% agree with those. Those are top three or just three in general?
The top three. I don't think there's any better ones than that. Like Nick Leddy's dropped off a bit. And I didn't want to put Tavares on there because Tavares, this isn't a surprise. He is a point per game player.
Yeah.
Like if he didn't do that, I would be disappointed. If he was less than 80 points, I'd be slightly disappointed. So when he did 65, 66 last year, I was kind of, that's not great. Sure enough, he missed for injury, but it still wasn't fantastic. But I almost expect this of Tavares. It's almost unfair for him. So I didn't quantify that as a surprise, per se.
Right. Because I was thinking maybe the only other argument you can make is just like the top six in general being as good as it is.
Right.
As a surprise, but I can't disagree with any of those ones. Lee has been fantastic. Again, I was a little apprehensive about him repeating. Same with Bailey. I was a little apprehensive with him repeating. And you know how high I was on Matt Barzal, but I didn't think he'd be this good.
No, exactly. Like, again, we were super high on Barzal, but we didn't think that he'd be like that. Right. Not Calder. We'd love for him to be a Calder trophy at the beginning of the season, but we didn't think that that was a possibility. Again, when's the last time a New York Islander won an individual award? Aside from Travis Hamonic. Right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Michael Pekka is a Selke winner, maybe?
Probably.
Like, jeez. Rough times.
It's been a while. Mitch, you want to jump into the social segment?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, I have a little bit of a story.
Yeah, I know you do. Let's go for it.
It was a little weird. I wasn't expecting this. So yesterday, I wrote something, and it was titled, I think it's time we need to talk about Michael Dekol.
It's a continuation of your hashtag done, Michael Dekol.
Yeah, hashtag done. All right. So I looked up his numbers. He going into yesterday, he was on pace for another 41-point season. So no growth again at the AHL level and not scoring nearly enough for, you know, someone who was looked at as a finisher.
Right.
So I wrote that. It was fine. Everyone agreed with me. Except for much later in the day, I got a tweet. And the tweet said, less than 1K followers, that's a bust. And I was like, what? I was like, why is this person calling out my follower account?
Wow.
Like, okay. And then I look at the name. His name was Gus Dekol.
Oh, no.
So,
wow.
And then I check him. He's got 144 followers. So, whoop-de-doo. He's killing the game, calling out me with like 950, let's say. I don't know, something like that.
Right.
And so I quoted the tweet and I was like, someone with the last name Dekol doesn't like that I said Michael Dekol hasn't produced enough for a top five pick. And then, like, the thinking face emoji. Instant block. Got blocked right away. Yeah, like, no response, just block.
I don't think you could have answered that and not get a block. I think a block was coming no matter what you said.
No matter what.
Oh, thanks for the quote, block. Oh, okay. That wasn't necessary, but all right.
And when that first happened, I knew it was probably someone related to Michael Dekol. What I didn't know was that it was his own dad. Confirmed his father's name is Gus Dekol.
Wow. As a dad, I get it. Like, you don't want to see your kid being dragged through the mud. But to be fair, he's a public figure, and he's not producing. It's been how many years is he at the AHL right now? Three?
He played a handful of games a couple of years ago. Last year was his first full year, and this year is his second.
So, like, and nothing's happening. We're coming to the end of his cycle, and it's, what do we do with Michael Dekol? What is Michael Dekol? Is he what we thought when we drafted him? Yeesh. I don't think
so. He's the only... There was two players from that first round that did not make their NHL debut yet. The other one did not... I'm blanking on his name, forgive me. He did not sign an entry-level contract with the Avalanche and then got redrafted 2 years later in the fifth round.
So, yeah. Rough
so,
times.
Realistically, Dekol's the only one from that class that hasn't made his NHL debut yet, and he was a top five pick.
Yeah. And, like, I understand the argument where a bigger body needs more time, but they don't all need more time. And even then, Josh Bailey is not a small body necessarily, and he's there. He was there right away. Maybe he wasn't ready right away, but it worked out eventually. He's just not doing enough to mark himself or put his name on people's minds and lips. And it's unfortunate, but he isn't doing enough. That's the reality of the situation. If they want to be mad about it, fine. That's fair. You're allowed to be mad about it. But, like, don't come after my Twitter follower account, because, like, that doesn't matter to anyone ever in any walk of life.
Mitch, if I wrote a hit piece about Elliot not knowing his ABCs, would you come after me on Twitter?
You'd be dead.
Okay, so it definitely is the fatherly instinct.
There's a fatherly instinct for sure. But at a certain point, you're like, why do I care? Why should I care about this guy? If 1,000 followers is your benchmark for relativity, then why even answer? And it doesn't matter. Why?
He also has us blocked on Eyes on Isles. I checked.
That's fair. Obviously, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter. A block was coming. The block probably happened before you even answered.
Could have. So very well could have.
I think he just, it's kind of cowardly to say, well, not to say, but it's kind of cowardly act to be like, here's a remark, block. Well, okay, I guess, fine. You wanted to get your thing in. All right, fine, whatever. I get why he was impulsed to say so. He probably regrets it at this point, but whatever.
I don't know. Still funny that I'm blocked on Twitter by Michael Douglas. That is just such my brand. It's so funny.
Hashtag done with him.
That is great. For the other thing that I have for the social, how about we do our favorite social media moments from 2017 from the Islanders?
The Hosang tweets were great.
Yes.
If you have to force it, it's probably poop. That's definitely my favorite one, and I use it to this day.
Why be moody when you could shake your booty?
Fantastic.
A great one.
The continuation of the Robo JT tweets. So, whatever he tweets is just an advert. So there's the beach one. There's the recent one with the briefcase with his initials, or at least just his number on it. And more recently, the Beauvillier picture of him and Barzal from when they were 16 years old. That is just... That's fantastic.
That's amazing. I need that blown up as a poster on my wall. That's just too good.
In all its granulated glory.
Oh my god, Mitch, you better watch out for when Colorado has a top 5 pick.
Oh please, come on! Seriously, it's not happening.
And I can't wait to watch us American boys beat down your Canadian boys this week.
Oh! It's on. And you guys will lose, and it's going to be embarrassing for you. It's going to be embarrassing.
All right, we'll see. We'll see.
We will.
I just hope you have your Twitter fingers ready.
They're right here. They're ready to a tweet, something like that.
All right, so we're running a little bit long. We should probably wrap it up. That was my funny banter to wrap it up, but I forgot to plug the website and Twitter and the stuff. So yeah. I have to go back.
Go back.
All right, so. Give us a follow on the main page, Eyes on Isles FS, where we live tweet games, GIFs, videos, all your favorite stuff. My personal Twitter is at Matt O'Leary NY. Mitch's is at TLO Mitch. Give us a like on our Facebook page as well, facebook.com/Eyes on Isles. And as always, visit the website, eyesonisles.com, for all things New York Islanders. Once again, I'm Matt O'Leary.
I'm Mitch Anderson.
You do that every week, Mitch. Jesus, I set you up. I go, I'm at O'Leary, and then I do the hand thing, and you're just sitting there, staring into space.
Well, there's a lot of stuff to look in my studio, this autographed John Tavares sweater hanging on the wall.
Do you want to talk about that quick?
I got an autographed John Tavares sweater for Christmas. That's all I got.
Who gifted that to you?
Oh, my brother did.
Your brother should win an award. That's amazing.
I'll let him know you said so.
All right, we'll see you guys next week.
See ya.